I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Luke, chapter 15. I'm going to share with you some very familiar scripture. If you've been in church at all, or probably even if you've never been in church, you've heard at least a little bit about this story, this account that Jesus gives us. He gives us a parable in the book of Luke. Begin with about verse 11, and everybody knows it as the parable of the prodigal son. And it's very familiar scripture to all of us. I want to read verses 14, 15, and 16 and share with you maybe just a little different thought. Maybe you've thought about this before, but this is something that God had revealed to me over the last couple of 3 days, and it's something that I had never really paid a whole lot of attention to before. But God brought it to my attention and brought it in, out to me, and I want to share it with you this morning. In Luke chapter 15, begin reading with verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Our Father, as we come to you this morning, I thank you for each one that's under the sound of my voice today. I thank you for the blessed word of God that we have, that we can study and we can look into now, that it might uplift us, that it might strengthen us, that it might guide us, that it might direct us. Father, I ask you now that you would anoint these lips of clay. Use me for your glory and for your praise this morning. Help me, God, to honor and uplift Jesus Christ. He said, if he be lifted up, he draw all men unto him. And Father, we'll not fail to slip off somewhere and give you the honor and the glory, the praise for it all. For it's in Jesus' name that we ask it. Amen and amen. Now, as I said, this story is about a man and two sons, actually. That's the crux of the story. That's the basis of the story. But there are some other people mentioned in here that you read the story, and if you don't read it very carefully, you miss them. They're just kind of in the shadows, and you completely miss them. I want to talk to you this morning for just a little while about a citizen of a far country. This story of the prodigal son is a classic story. It's the story that just keeps renewing itself over and over through generation and generation. And it's the story of so many people, especially young people. It's the story of a young man that feels that he's outgrown the wholesome presence and the wholesome restraints that have been placed on him by his father. He's gotten to this age now where he feels like he's got the bull by the horn, so to say, and he's ready to go out and take on the world. So we know what he does. He goes to his father and asks his part of the living, and the Bible said it wasn't many days after that till he made a journey into a far country. And how many times has this story repeated itself over and over and over and over through young men and through women, through generations from the time Jesus walked upon this earth even till now? And it continues to go on. You see, this young man is beginning to hear the wooing and the drawing and the crying of a far country. And so many of our young people today hear that same thing. And they ultimately, sooner or later, will go to mom and dad and they'll say, well, it's time for me to get out. I've heard it called spreading their wings. I've heard it called getting out on their own. I've heard it, experiencing life. I've heard it, all these things, we name it. But the truth is, it's the drawing and the wooing and the calling of that far country. And that's what this young man heard. He wants to get away from the influence and the love of his father. Look at verse 12 for a minute. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. So his dad gave him his request. And I have to admit, as a father with grown children, and anybody in here that is a father or a mother or a parent with grown children has to admit that no matter how much you want to hold them, no matter how much you want to keep them close, no matter how much you want to protect them from all of the world that you know is out there, sooner or later they're going to go to that far country. They're going to go in spite of everything you say. They're going to go in spite of everything you do. This young man was there. He did that. He went in spite. No doubt that dad tried to keep him from going. I'm sure that dad tried to counsel him to stay where he was. He was going to be a lot better off there with his family and in a country that he was familiar with, but he wasn't satisfied with that. He wanted to go to that foreign country or that far country. And the story continues to carry on today just as it did back then. The characters changed, but the story remains the same. This young man wanted to take a journey into a far country. How many of you know somebody, or how many of you have done that yourself? Amen. Don't raise your hand. I think we've all been there at one time or another. Amen. I suppose, and I have to consider this, the pull of the far country woos every one of us. You know, over the years, especially as I have sat in church and been in ministry all these years, I've watched the pull of the far country on a great many people that are in church. Because not only does this apply to a family situation as far as a father and his sons, but it also applies to a family situation in a church setting. You see, you and I here this morning, God brought us all together in this building as a group of people that's an extended family. We're all part of the family of God. But I have seen over the years many a person that at one time or another was on fire for God, and one time or another was doing God's work, that the far country began to woo them and draw them. And I've saw them walk away and turn their back on what God had for them. Some were young, some were old, some were newborn Christians, but some had been around for a long time. I've seen people that have been in the way and walked with the Lord for years suddenly decide they were going to turn their back and go after something that the devil presented them. People go to a far country for different reasons. Some probably go on a quest to support freedom. They feel like that they'll be freer if they can go to another place. They'll be freer if they can go to another destination. There's always that theory that the grass is greener on the other side. Maybe they go after a pursuit of bitter resentment that accumulates in their heart, and things begin to build up in their heart, and they refuse to get forgiveness for those things. Maybe they go out of boredom with their marriage or with their circumstances, their job, or whatever it is. But the wooing and the drawing of that far country pulls them away, and they have a tendency to go there. There's a strange pull to that far country. It promises better days and better opportunities, but it's never true. They're never there. In this same story we find here in Luke, what we find is a boy that's gone bad. He was raised right, obviously. His father took care of him and raised him the right way. But he's a boy that's gone bad. He's a boy who hits rock bottom, which you will do when you go to that far country. You will always go to the bottom if you're not careful when you get to that far country. And when he hit rock bottom, the Bible teaches us that he shattered into 1,000 pieces. How many people do you know that at one time served God? Now they're out there somewhere in that far country, and they don't know where to turn. They don't know what to do. They don't know. You know, you run into them every day. And they say, well, I used to be in church. I used to be this. I used to be that. But today, they're struggling. They're wrestling with all the temptations of life and all the troubles of life, because somewhere back there they chose the drawing and the wooing of that far country, and they heard it, and they accepted it, and they took it, and they made that journey to that far country. I sometimes wonder how many times this story's been repeated over and over in the lives of sons and daughters, even that you and I know. It's a classic story of every backslider. who chooses to leave the protection of the Father. It really is. There's some things we need to know, though, about this country, this far country. It is a place where you live your life absent from the presence of God. If you choose to leave the protection of the Father and the protection of home and go into this far country, it's a place where you're going to live your life absent from what God has for you and absent from the protection of God. The far country is not going to give you room for error. I'm telling you, you make a mistake, they will stomp you in the earth. Amen? The influence of the far country and the effects of the far country will never leave you, even if you repent and come back home. You will always carry the scars of that trip to the far country. The Lord wants us to be able this morning, I believe, to get a good look at the misery of this far country. The far country's master, note verse 15 of this scripture, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. That word joined there means that he made covenant with a citizen of that country. He made an agreement with a citizen of that country. You see, at one time this young man had a home, had a father, had a living, had an inheritance, but he had wasted it all, the Bible said, when he followed that lure and that drawing to that far country. And now he's down there and he's hungry and he's broke and there's no money and there's no food and he's got to do something and he's got to have an answer. So the Bible said that he went and made covenant with a citizen of that country. How many of us have done that? Only one person from that whole far country is ever mentioned. And he's never mentioned by name. He's only called the citizen. And the prodigal made covenant with that citizen of that far country. So who is this citizen of the far country? He could have been the mayor. He could have been on the board of directors. It doesn't matter who he was. The fact is, he was a resident of that far country. And there's only two men mentioned, him and the prodigal son. They're the only two that's in this scripture when he's in that far country. Most of us will read this story and we skip over him. And God began to point him out to me and help me to realize who he is. And I want us to see him today, because if you have ever been or are you considering going into that far country, you're going to have to run into this fella sooner or later. Amen? Most of the time, you're going to find him lingering in the darkness, hindering and hiding in the shadows, or down the road. He's up under the bushes of the fence row, but he's waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting for that opportune time when, although when you came to the far country, you had money, and when you came to the far country, you had your father's inheritance, and when you came to that far country, you were doing pretty good. But this citizen of the far country knows that sooner or later, it's going to happen. You're going to crash. You're going to shatter into 1,000 pieces, and you're going to be in need, and he's going to be there when you get into need. How many of you are beginning to understand who he is? This citizen, this farmer, the Bible teaches us, come in contact with the prodigal son. But he catches him at the right time. Did you notice that? He didn't catch him when he had money and he was down partying with his friends. No, he waited until the prodigal was broke and hungry. And then he crossed his path. And he drew him over here and he said, look, I can give you a job. I can supply you with a place to live. I can supply you with a little bit to eat. But you need to make covenant with me. We need to make an agreement together. You see, the Bible said that the prodigal began to be in want. And as soon as he began to be in want, the citizen of the far country showed up. Let's compare those two for just a minute. One of them is a traveler, a prodigal son. The other is a resident, the Bible said, of a far country. The prodigal is suffering in a famine. He's broke. He's destitute. He has nothing. And he's hungry and he's searching for something. And the other, by taking advantage of the prodigal, will get stronger. The prodigal has nothing and the citizen has a hog farm. Both of them have a need. The prodigal needs money, he needs food, but the citizen of that farm, the owner of that farm, needs money, he needs muscle. The citizen gets the muscle, but the prodigal never gets the citizen's money. Did you notice that? I'm telling you, when you go to that far country, you're going to meet the citizen of that far country sooner or later, and he will offer you and promise you anything and everything, but you will never get anything. The payday at the citizen's house down at the hog pen is not very much. How many of you realize when you go to that far country, you're headed in the wrong direction? You see, what the prodigal soon realized was the wages of sin are demanding, but they never pay very well. That citizen wasn't interested in the prodigal, and I doubt very seriously if this was the first young man that he had taken advantage of. That citizen was only interested in them pigs and getting them fed. You see, it was a job he didn't want to do. He wanted somebody else to do it for him. This citizen of the far country is always there. He's hiding there. He's waiting on you there. And I know that there are many and many young men and young women over the years that they know of a friend of theirs that has met tragic end and tragic results because they went to that far country. But the lie that they believe is this: it happened to them, but it won't ever happen to me. Folks, the results in the far country are always the same. Always the same. As time progressed in the life of every prodigal, he will end up feeding the lesser beasts of his life. How many of you know that? You see, according to the scripture, the hogs were unclean animals. How many of you realize that there was another place where hogs were present in what Jesus was talking about? It was in a place called Gadara. There was a demoniac possessed man there in the tombs, and Jesus healed him and cast the demons into the swine. And what happened? They ran down the hill into the ocean, and the people of that country, if you'll study the Bible, were more concerned about those hogs than they were that demon-possessed man that Jesus had healed, and they asked Jesus to leave their country because of. When you get to the far country, about all this there is hog pens. They are an unclean animal, and you're going to end up feeding the hogs before you leave. Amen? If you stay long enough. Do you know yet who this citizen is? He'll cause you to feed the bitterness of the offense committed against you from a long time ago. People go to a far country because somebody offended them years ago, and they still haven't got over it, and they're still carrying it, so they've decided they're going to go to a far country. From the anger, you're going to feed that anger that tears your family apart, that bitterness that develops in a marriage when a man and a woman no longer seem to get along. And one of them finally looks out and sees the far country. You're going to feed the jealousy that consumes every waking moment of your life when you get in the far country. You're going to feed the unforgiving spirit that'll not let you go because it'll not let you rest when you're in the far country. You're going to feed the rebellion that refuses to hear instruction and wisdom and refuses to hear the call of God saying to his son or his daughter, "My child, come home. I love you. I want to love you. I want to restore you." You don't want to hear that when you're in the far country. Why? Because you're in a hog pen and you're feeding your lesser beasts. But I want you to notice something. The longer you stay in the hog pen and the longer you feed those lesser beasts, the hungrier you get. This young man got to the point where he was so hungry that he wanted to eat the food that the hogs were eating. How many of you realize that's always true in the far country? Because the citizen of the far country, he wants to progress himself and elevate himself, and he doesn't care about the prodigal he's chosen to feed his hog. He just wants the hogs fed. He's not interested in the person. What the citizen does not want you to know is this. Payday never comes in the far country. He don't want you to know that. He wants you to feed hogs. He don't mind you getting hungry. He don't mind you getting frustrated. He don't mind you getting discouraged. It always looks good in the far country, but it never works. You see, the life of a prodigal is a downward spiral. And the question I have to ask you this morning is, how long can the citizen of the far country keep you in the far country? And that's a good question, because basically it's your choice. How long can a citizen keep you in this horrible state that you're in the far country? The answer is in verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger." You want me to tell you when you can get out of the far country? When you come to yourself. And you realize what you left to come to the far country. You realize what you lost when you came to the far country. You come to yourself and suddenly you remember home and dad. And I've often heard it said by young people, and it's a popular thing, that most young people in their late teens think their parents are the dumbest people in the world, don't know nothing, don't understand anything. But after they make a trip to the far country and they're there for a little while and they go back and talk to mom and dad, it's amazing how much those people learn in that short time. You know why? Because most of us have already been there. And that's the thing that we try to tell our children, but they will not hear us, because that draw to that far country is strong. And that citizen in the far country is always lurking in the shadows and waiting and watching you. And at your weakest point, at your weakest moment, he will proposition you. And if you're not careful, you'll end up in covenant with him. And you will have agreed to feed his hogs. And you won't even know when it happened. But he can only keep you as long as you choose to stay. This young man chose, and he said, when he finally came to himself, he said, "Hey, I don't have to do this." Amen? Somewhere in the far recesses of your mind, through the pain and the misery and the things that he was going through, slopping around in that mud trying to feed those hogs, the prodigal son began to summons up thoughts of home. He remembered home. He remembered his father's house. There's been many a backslider who's drifted away from God, and they've gone to the far country, and they have made covenant with the citizen of the far country, and they have lived years and years and years of their life in misery and in defeat and in things they didn't have to put up with, and suddenly they begin to remember. As a child of God, having gone into a far country and fallen prey to the citizen of that far country, they remember the old-fashioned prayer meetings that mom and daddy took them to, and they remember the Holy Spirit of God being in those services, and they begin to remember. And in their mind, there are faint songs and lyrics that start to show up. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. There's power in the blood. Jesus saves. What can wash away my sin? Begin to fill their memory and begin to help them to understand. And they begin to come to themselves in the far country, in the hog pen. They come to themselves. And when you get there, the citizens of that far country can't keep you any longer. Amen? They remember the face of a concerned father who watched as his son took his inheritance, headed down the road to the far country, full of hope, full of plans for the future, excited about what he was going to do. But when he got there, the Bible said he wasted his living on righteous living, and soon he got hungry. The citizen of the far country was waiting in the shadows. He was faceless. He didn't have a name, but he was there. You see, he's the one that preys on people that go to the far country. He walks the halls of our high schools today, waiting on those young teenage girls and boys that are wanting to go to the far country. Anybody know who he is yet? Of course you do. He's the enemy of God, and he's the enemy of God's people, and he's the enemy of mankind. And the only thing he cares about is his hogs. This world and the devil can only hang on to men as long as you choose to let him hang on to you. Romans 6 and 23, the Bible said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Bert, I need you to come to the piano now. There's an old song that came to my mind early in the wee hours of the morning this morning as I was working on this message. And that song talks about a young man or a young woman who remembers the days of childhood. And it talks about when they were young and carefree, and mom and daddy was taking care of them, and they played till evening shadows fall. And they could hear that mama as she stepped out on the back, and most of you can remember this. As she began to call to her children and she said, come home, it's supper time. I sense this morning that there are some folk in this service that right now, maybe you have been down in that far country. Maybe you're there today. Or just maybe you were thinking about going. And I'm here to tell you today, you better be careful headed for the far country, because there's a citizen in the far country that will take every advantage of you that he can. He will destroy you and leave you bleeding on the side of the road. Folk, listen, this is serious business. I'm not in this to play, and I know that God gave me this message for a reason. And if God is speaking to your heart and you're about to do something that ultimately will be something stupid, although right now it looks good and it sounds good, I beg you this morning, be careful. Before you venture into the far country, be careful, because there you will lose your fortune. You will lose your health. You will lose your life. You will end up feeding hogs. You will make covenant with a citizen of that far country, and you're a lot better off making covenant with Almighty God. If you're here this morning, I want us to stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. And if I have spoken to your heart this morning through the Holy Spirit and you need to pray, I want you to slip out of your seat right now and come. You don't have to tell me anything, but you need to get before God this morning and say, Lord, I'm coming home. Can't you hear him? That young man was there until he came to himself. And he realized that in his father's house, the hired servants were better off than he was. There's a lot of people trying to live their life today in a far country. And they're in covenant with a citizen of that far country. Why don't you break that covenant this morning and come home and make covenant with Jesus Christ? Make covenant with God the Father and let Him put His hand upon you and touch you this morning. As they sing this song, you come.
When I was but a boy in days of childhood, I used to play till evening shadows come, and winding down an old familiar path.
There's others here this morning that need to be in this altar right now. Can't you hear him? Come home.
Come home. It's supper time. The shadows linger.
Can't you hear him calling your name?
Come home. It's supper time.
God bless you, my brother.
Where